You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition, and as promised yesterday, I'm going to give you a little bit more details, because when we have what some call mass shootings, although the term can be misleading, and we did, where 12 people were killed, one being a police officer, but most of the people killed were either customers or employees at a local, it's in Thousand Oaks, it's a bar and grill, and it's a local bar. Now, I'm sure in your community, there is a place where college students hang out. I know when I was going to grad school, there were several places like that. And people are creatures of habits and usually would go there to meet people either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And this was a country and western place. Now, I'm not a country and western fan, so I wouldn't be caught dead in there. But unfortunately, and this is a problem in Texas, it's a problem across the country, it's the problem of gun-free zones. Now, why is that a problem? Many, many of these mass shootings, overwhelming majority of them, occur in gun-free zones. Why? Usually, and we've learned more about the shooter. We know his name now, Ian David Long. He was a Marine for several years, had a tour in Afghanistan. He was known in the community. And before he went into the Marines, this is what was really disturbing to me. He did come to the attention of a female physical education teacher. And apparently the administration didn't want this. There was an incident. And they didn't want this in any way to get any publicity, because they knew he was going in the Marines. Apparently this person had some mental illness problems. Now, I was asking the question, because I know when I joined the Air Force, I'm a veteran, I had to see a psychologist. Now, I don't think in the few minutes he had, because it was a long line of people, he can make a determination unless someone is really a nutcase. And the Marines need physically fit people that want to join the Marines. And he joined, became a machine gunner, served in combat, finally got out. And what did he do? He killed 12 people. Now, does that mean most people in the Marines or any branch of the armed services, when they come home, kill people? No. But many people that have been in combat, whether it's Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever, not everyone, but a high enough percentage, come back with what's now diagnosed as PTSD. What am I talking about? Post-traumatic stress disorder. And what they're doing, and it doesn't necessarily, it could be many years after they come back. That's what surprises people. They're reliving the event. And that leads to anger. It leads to anxiety, depression. And many of them, not all of them, but many of them commit suicide. They need help. And usually they seek help at the Veterans Administration. And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. And it goes on and on and on. It leads to divorce. It leads to alcoholism, drug use. And many people don't even want to seek treatment, because there is a stigma, even in the private sector, if you're not in the military. Now, I don't think this should be the case, but I'm just talking reality. People that seek professional help, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, medical help for their problem. And usually they get medication. It's a very difficult situation. And now, unfortunately, many veterans suffering from this are going to be hurt by this shooting because there were press reports that he had this condition. No one can really nail it down. I try to nail it down. The Marines, I think, are not talking whether he had it or the Veterans Administration. But one of the common where this leads is many commit suicide. You have a high rate of suicide. The statistics you'll hear is 22 people a day, and many think that understates it. That's a lot of suicides because it adds up. It's every day. Now, I mention all this is because even though most of the people that suffer from this condition don't kill other people. They don't. It's really directed at themselves. And it leads to a lot of, well, the best thing, the way I could describe it is they have issues. And they want to get over it. And there are some therapies that work, but many times it doesn't. It depends on the therapy. Is this the therapy for the person that has the problem? And the reason I'm focusing on this is Sunday is Veterans Day. You see, I'm of the opinion, and yes, I'm a veteran of over 5 years, but I decided not to make it a career. And I spent 5 years in Dayton, Ohio, where Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is. So I've never been in combat. But if you talk to people that do, that's what they'll say. The people that really understand me have been there, and people that haven't been, including their family, their wives, don't understand what they've gone through, and they describe it as it's a living hell. And yes, I think this is a situation where the government should spend more money and deal with this problem. We're talking money, folks. A lot of money, because it's no small number. You even have people that were in the Vietnam War, and when they came home, there was nothing. The estimates are it's over 10% have this problem that were veterans in combat. It's not everybody. And it's not just the trauma is not the it gets most attention because of the numbers of the veterans that have it. But there are other kinds of trauma, sexual abuse, being raped, assaulted. So there are people that have not been in combat that have this problem. They really are reliving, especially when they're sleeping. They're reliving the trauma. They got to confront it. Now, this is not going to be a show on psychology and what can be done, but the point is, in my opinion, the American people all owe these veterans treatment until they are, quote, cured, if they ever are, of this condition. Now, am I in any way excusing what the shooter did? Absolutely not. You need to understand the situation. That's why I was a little concerned that, but I thought about it. How did the Marines not catch this? Apparently they didn't, because he was in the Marines for several years, got out, yet something was definitely bothering him. And he went out to this bar and grill. He lived near there and killed primarily young people in their 20s. And I have the pictures, with the exception of the 29-year sheriff's veteran that was killed. He was the first one to show up, and he was killed. This has all the earmarks of past mass shootings. Yes, it's a male. Very seldom is it a female. Usually it's well-planned and planned in advance. He came with smoke grenades. I believe he came to commit suicide, but to get the publicity, he was going to kill as many people as he could. And he did. 12 people. Now, what else is a real common denominator that seldom is mentioned? I won't say seldom's the wrong word. It's not. It's many times it's overlooked because it's obvious. And I happen to be in the same kind of situation right now. What is it? And we have the same problem in Texas. As a matter of fact, across the country. It's a so-called gun-free zone. And California has one of the most highly regulated in terms of guns and getting a concealed carry. In most states, I think all 50 states, you can get concealed carry. That means getting training, getting a license, and you got to renew it. And what's interesting, the people that have concealed carry permits or licenses, depending on what state you're in, there are very, very, very few that ever get it any time. Any type of legal trouble. I mean, the percentages are less than 1%. They're very law-abiding citizens. So when you go into a gun-free zone or a defense-free zone, you're taking your life in your hands. Am I living dangerously? Well, most colleges, although it is changing in Texas, are gun-free zones. And that's why many of these so-called mass shootings, and I'm using the FBI definition, where four or more people have been killed, usually by the weapon being a gun, a pistol, or a rifle. In this case, it was a .45 that he purchased legally, and many of them purchase it legally. They plan this out and think about it, and you're thinking, how can I get more publicity? They've already more or less committed to, I'm going to commit suicide, but I'm going to take as many people as I can. And if you just happen to be in the wrong place in the wrong time, you might be a victim, because in many businesses, in particular bars and grills where alcoholic beverages are served. And see, my reaction, as is probably the majority of the people out there, where alcohol is being served, you don't want people with guns. I think that's common sense, but there's a problem. Well, who is going to have the guns? The people that want to commit suicide or rob the place. There are many reasons. And in most businesses, not all, but definitely in public buildings, I know in Texas, and I would dare say it's every state, if you have a concealed carry permit, now some states have open carry. I'm not talking that. I'm talking concealed carry. You got to leave your weapon in your car. Although you have the right, the legal right, to bear arms under the Second Amendment, if you go into many businesses, it'll say, don't bring your weapon in. Now, many of these stores do have guards, but guess who is the first one they kill? Yeah, especially if he's in uniform. You know, a private security guard or an off-duty policeman. They know if they take that person, or in some large establishments, it's more than one. You know, I frequently, I'd say once a week, go to Half-Price Books. I'm a very much a reader and collector of books, and not invariably, sometimes there isn't, but especially on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's one and usually two off-duty policemen, Dallas policemen. And I recognize them, they recognize me, and they're mainly there to stop theft. But occasionally, words can be spoken. So that's the person that has the weapon. They do have weapons. But if you're planning to either commit suicide or kill a bunch of people, who do you take out first? The police officer or the security guard? And what's interesting, they plan this. Usually that this is well planned. And the point being, you can't keep guns out of really any place, including a government building. And that includes schools. Because again, if you're trying to plan it, let's say have multiple weapons and clips, you're going to find places you can hide it. What I'm recommending is you allow people with concealed carry permits that have been trained to carry their weapon. Because if you have at least one or maybe more people wherever the event happens, the shootings happen, that's one person that could fire back. In other words, a well-armed citizenry, and I mean in with few exceptions. But is it going to happen? No. I always laugh. They want gun control. The problem is not guns. Guns are inanimate objects. I don't hear knife control, arrow control, baseball bat control. No, they try, because why do they label it gun control? They're trying to take your guns. They're trying to repeal the Second Amendment. So they need to make the problem bigger and bigger. And they do it by calling them mass shootings. What's a mass shooting? Well, most people would say where several people get killed. But I was doing some research, because in this shooting, you know, there were press reports that this year alone there have been over 300 mass shootings. And I was scratching my head. I said, I must have missed something. I haven't seen many mass shootings. I've seen a couple. I'm not saying there haven't been any, but not hundreds. And there have been press reports. They're all using the same site. And I checked it out. You see, the FBI, and that's there's no agreed-to definition. And ladies and gentlemen, that is part of the problem. Most people that follow this would say, well, the FBI defines mass shooting as where four people have been killed, you know, at a specific time and place. And that's the way I look at it. When you tell there's been a mass shooting, at least 4 people have been killed. And that's the case here. It's 12. I'm not arguing this isn't, quote, a mass shooting. But if you're trying to take people's guns away, and yes, every time there's an event like this, the gun grabbers are out in force. We got to stop this situation. Excuse me, the government caused the situation. In California, you can't, first of all, in California, it's very hard to get concealed carry. And even if you do, you can't take your weapon into a place like this. It's the same thing in Texas. Because most business establishments, and obviously bars and grills, it's similar to California, can't bring your weapon in. So you're going in to a place where even if you've gone to the trouble of buying a weapon, practicing, becoming proficient in its use, going through the trouble and expense of getting a concealed carry permit or license, depending on what state you're in, many times you got to leave your weapon in the car. And what I'm thinking of is, I didn't put it in my notes. And let me briefly say, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. If you go to Pronk Pops, that's pronkpops.wordpress.com. Underneath my picture, you'll have 60 to 80 shows. And links to it. I know I'm behind in terms of post-production, so it's probably going to be next week before I can get this up. I have something that I have to do Monday and Tuesday, and before I forget, I will be off the air Monday and Tuesday. I simply have something very important. It's going to take a lot of time, and it has to be done by Tuesday about 5:40. And I know it's going to take a lot of time, so there is no point in me even trying to prep a Monday or Tuesday show. So to listen to the show, go there, but also more importantly, and this is why I'm pointing this out, I give you some of my show prep, and there's a lot of show prep for this show. I try to give you as much information as I could. I give you photographs, newspaper articles, cartoons, background information, and there are various aspects to this story. And a veteran Marine was killed. You had a Marine or former Marine, the shooter, killing another Marine. But primarily the people here, there were young people, except for the police officer and one other gentleman. And this was a local hangout. I can identify with it, and I'm sure many of you can. People like to meet people, dance, gossip, talk. And many people would say I'd go there at least once a week, if not 2 or 3 times. And some of the survivors of the Las Vegas shooting, and that's the worst one in the United States history, I think the death count was 58. In terms of the United States, it's the one mass shooting with the highest numbers. And the reason why I sort of am a stickler to this, what the people that are trying to, I call them the gun grabbers, trying to do, and they're mostly Democrats, the liberal progressives. They don't like the Second Amendment, and if they could, they would do away with it. It is a losing issue, though. And I say, let them keep bringing it up. But every time there's a mass shooting, they try to blow it out of proportions. You know, the best source of information on this, as far as I'm concerned, is John Lott. And I've given some videos that he's put together. Some are long, some are speeches. But you need to understand that the people that are trying to take your guns away, trying to do away with the Second Amendment, they put out propaganda. It's the big lie media. And they all quote this source. And if you go to the source, what do you find? Now, what's the FBI definition? 4 killed, homicides, at least 4 or more. Now, they use the number 4. They have, in terms of the definitions, that's the one thing they have in common. But you can have 0 killed and 4 people injured. Now, I'll be the first to say it's going to be rather painful if you're shot. I've never been shot, but I know people have, and they will tell many were lucky. It hurts. Believe it or not, it does hurt. And this gentleman was using a 45, and they can be deadly. And they were in this instance. So I went to their site, and they have them listed. It. And to that extent, I think they're doing a service, but it's based on press reports and police reports. And there are issues with that, but that's not where I'm quibbling. If you had 1 person killed and 3 or 4 injured, that's a mass shooting. Well, anybody that's covered it, and I have, and there are many people out there, will say, wait a minute, that's not a mass shooting. 1 person is a mass. You know, really, the general definition of mass is a lot. You know, you could argue with 4. I'm not. I'll accept for a moment if there are four killings, murders. Now, there is such a thing as justified homicide. If someone is attacking you and you have your concealed carry, pull it out and kill them. And you got to be careful here. But if someone is attacking you, let's say breaking in your home, you can kill them. That's not murder. It's a homicide, but it's not murder. You got to understand that. But they use the word killings. And what immediately struck me was 00001000100. Yes, occasionally there was a 2, a 3, and yes, a 4. That's why it's over 300. It's terribly misleading, but that's what propaganda does. They're lying to you by misrepresenting the data and trying to you get the impression, what's the matter in 2018? Over 300 mass shootings? Well, I'm sure if you think about it, yes, there have been a few FBI definition mass shootings. Most certainly. Many of them are where? In gun-free zones, in colleges or high schools. But some, including this one, is in a business establishment. Gun-free zones attract criminals because they know, forget about shootings, if you're going to rob a place, who's the first person you want to take out?
Yeah.
The security guard or the off-duty policeman? If you're planning a big robbery, a bank robbery. And just remember, today, most business establishments have surveillance cameras. So if you're going to be a successful crook, not a killer. You got to plan this well. But what's not funny is this gentleman apparently planned it. How many do you carry smoke grenades? Remember, he was a trained machine gunner that had been in combat. We'll know probably many weeks or months later once we get access, if we ever do. I'm sure the Marine Corps is not voluntarily going to give his medical records. And it might be a situation. There was nothing. But usually the term you'll hear is red flags. Oh, yeah, there were red flags. The police were called to this person was living with his mother and been making a racket, and they heard a shot, and they actually called in mental health professionals to determine whether he could do harm either to himself or others, and took a while to even get him out of the house. But they said, and the reason why they do this, what you should be doing is putting him in a mental health facilities, involuntarily commit them. That wasn't done. Now, I'm not criticizing at all the person who did this. It's difficult to do, and what's running, nobody wants that label. Oh, he's the nut that was in the nut house. And see, I can remember when, before they let out hundreds of thousands of people that were in mental institutions, today it's less than 10% what it used to be. And the U.S. population is more than double. So there's a lot fewer people that have to be incarcerated, hopefully get treatment while they're there. Because it costs money. Everything costs money. So what happens is only the very, very worst are going to be in a nut house or whatever you want to call them. And yes, there's a stigma when you're in a nut house or a mental institution, however, whatever phrase you want to use. So there's a natural reluctance to commit people. The other common denominator, and we really don't know anything about this, I was looking for it, is whether or not he was taking any prescribed medication. In other words, was he being treated? And the reason I'm asking this, more than half the people that do this were being treated prior to this incident. Anywhere from 6 months to a couple of years. And usually, if they were on medication. And what can trigger something like this is they either increase or decrease the dosage, or they quit taking it. So they can be relatively normal if they're taking their medication, but if the doctor either increases it or decreases it, or the patient decides not to take it, then, not in many cases, but too many, they become suicidal. Now, not everyone that's suicidal, thinking about committing suicide, is going to commit homicide. And one of the conundrums or difficulties is these medications work. They do have side effects, some of them very bad, but they work for many, many people once you get the right one. But there's still a small percentage where they have an adverse effect. We have no information on this yet. I'm trying to give you as much information as we have. And I am focusing on the person that did this. But you should see and really focus on the people that lost their lives, including this police officer. He was a year away away from his retirement, a veteran of 29 years, Sergeant Ron Hellis. And I have a lot of pictures from various articles. He tried to stop this gentleman. And it's usually the first responders or the people there, the security people, are the ones that these killers, and he's a killer, try to kill first. And once that happens, then, because there were bouncers that were killed, but most of the victims were students or regular customers. Many were male, but three were women. They're all dead, and I know it hurts. There's pain, sadness amongst their family and friends. They all had friends. They all had family. None expected this to happen. This was a place they would visit, not necessarily every week, but regularly, and nothing like this has ever happened. A Thousand Oaks is noted for being one of the more peaceful cities, towns in California, one of the safest, not anymore. This can happen anywhere, and it does affect the community. It shakes you up, because many people lost their best friends, their brothers, their sisters, all because someone wanted to commit suicide. And they try to pick the safest place to do it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, is a so-called gun-free zone. Well, none of the customers had a gun. Apparently, none of the so-called security had a gun. Who had a gun? The shooter. That, in a nutshell, is the problem. Now, I have two cartoons that kind of illustrate this. All you need, and it's not, there's no guarantees here, but if you have one or more people that can shoot back, you might have a chance. But not if the state, the government, and most states, I would not be surprised, will not let anyone with a concealed carry weapon. It's a crime if you take your concealed carry weapon with you. Now, sometimes you might forget. There's a story of Texas. I forget the woman's name, but it's gripping. It's the Luby cafeteria. The lady was taking her mother and father to lunch, and someone that was a nutcase, out of his mind, comes in and methodically starts shooting people. And the lady reached for her purse where she kept her concealed weapon. Then she realized she left it in the car. You see, nearly all the people that have concealed carry are very law-abiding. What upsets me is every time something like this happens, what the Democratic Party, as well as some Republicans, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but the left in this country, they want to disarm law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens are not the problem. If you look at the common denominators, it's usually a man. It's usually in a gun-free zone. More than half have mental issues, not necessarily all of them. Many are in treatment or taking prescribed drugs, and they deliberately choose gun-free zones. Why? They don't want to be shot. Now, I should quickly say, some want the police to shoot them, death by cop, but many do not. They want to control their death. That's why many kill themselves. And from the police reports, this person killed themselves. You see, the war came home. When you send thousands and thousands of your sons and daughters to country after country acting like policemen of the world, you're going to get casualties. Not only fatalities, people being killed in countries and people being seriously wounded, but a lot of the serious wounded, it's mental. It's mental. They're not right. This is nothing new. This has been true for war after war after war. And then they have problems. We need to help those veterans. And remember this as we approach Veterans Day. We'll learn more about the people that he shot as well as him. But it is a little bit aggravating that many people try to politicize this. They really do. And ultimately, what they're trying to do is take your guns. Now, they deny it. We need gun control. No, no, no. You're not talking gun control. Guns are not the problem. It's people that do this are the problem. And if they didn't have a gun, they'd have a knife, a baseball bat, or another weapon, a bomb. You see, I always need to remind people, and this leads into one of the stories that I'll be covering. One of the first things that an authoritarian or a totalitarian regime does when they come to power, whether it's by an election or military force, is disarm the people. Disarm the people. And that's what upwards of half of the political class in this country are trying to do. Their challenge is the American people are not going to stand for it. And I say bring it on, because if you want to be voted out of office, make this your number one issue. Let's say they could accomplish it. Who then would be armed? the government, the police, the military, but also all the criminal class. They're not going to obey the law. You can pass any law you want, and the criminals are not going to do it. What is the primary source of many of these weapons? Now, many of the weapons are stolen. This was purchased legally. That's not an issue in this shooting. Where do the criminals get their weapons? Many times, the same place they get their drugs. They sell not only drugs, but they sell the weapons. So you're not going to disarm the criminals. They're not going to turn in their guns. They're not going to agree to this. Actually, they welcome it. Why? Let's say you're a professional thief. Where would you rather be a professional thief? In a country where the people are totally, completely disarmed? The answer is yes. Why? If you break in and the person is home, they can't shoot you. Now, they might hit you with a baseball bat or a knife, but they have to get close. So in terms of the criminal class, they're all for disarming the American people. And the drug dealers know if there's a dispute, they can't go to the local courthouse and settle it. They settle it violently by shooting their opposition. And unfortunately, many times, innocent people get caught in the crossfire. So the American people will resist and push back on any attempt by the left in this country to disarm them and do away with the Second Amendment. I think they're dreaming if they think they're going to accomplish that. There are over 400 million weapons, and I'm talking arms, pistols, rifles. The United States citizens are well-armed. Now, many people have never shot a weapon, don't want anything to do with them. No one's forcing you to become proficient with either a pistol or rifle. That's your choice. However, if you've gone through the military, and my case, first weapon I ever fired was in the Boy Scouts, and then in the military in training. But after basic training, I never fired a weapon. It depends what your job is. And if you're in the military, many people never fire a weapon. Many people don't have weapons to fire. And even the people that have weapons have never fired them. That's the same thing on police forces. It's an equalizer. And who really benefits from that? Women do, because it's a way to equalize the size difference between men and women. And if you live in a community where the sale of drugs is rampant and people, because of they need money, break in or attack you and take your money, you should, it's up to you, but you should have the legal right and do have the legal right of concealed carry, even though you have states that want to disarm you. If you ask me who killed all these college students, well, obviously the former veteran did. But who trained him? The United States government, just like the assassin of John F. Kennedy. He was a marksman, Marine, trained by the United States government. The mass shootings in Thousand Oaks, he was a machine gunner. Now, he didn't bring a machine gun in. He didn't bring a rifle in. He didn't have a fully automatic weapon, but he had a pistol, and he modified the spring-loaded container so it could have 30 rounds. At least that's the information I'm seeing. And that can be done. That's not hard to do, especially if you've been trained to and being proficient at a machine gun and been in combat. And innocent people that thought they were in a gun-free zone, and that meant they were protected, found out no, they weren't. And who required that establishment to be gun-free? Now, many establishments will do this voluntarily, but by law in many states, including Texas, including California, you cannot bring your weapon in to a establishment that distributes or sells alcoholic beverages. See, what I would, the only modification I could think of is, yeah, if you have a weapon and you're not drinking, you're not being served, then yes, you can have it. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not the way it is in any state. And this is also true with public buildings. A library, public library. Many colleges still can't do it. And what's the prime target? What's the preferred target? Defenseless people. Where do you find defenseless people? Colleges, high schools, schools in general, public buildings, bars for sure, and many, many businesses. Not all businesses have off-duty policemen or private security guards. But you'll see the sign as you go in, you can't bring your weapon. So, in theory, while you have the right to bear arms, it's being restricted and restricted and restricted to the point that our citizens are being mowed down by people, many who want to commit suicide. Some are terrorists that just want to instill fear in the community. And many lives, many, many lives, not just the victims, but the extended family or friends as well, are mourning today what happened late Wednesday evening. Remember, this happened about 11:15 to 11:20 California time, Wednesday. And it's been the story Thursday and Friday. I covered it Thursday. We had a lot less information. And yes, it's following the pattern. It was a male, apparently suicidal. He committed suicide. The police officer didn't kill him, nor did the other police officers responding kill him. He took his own life after he took the lives of 12 people and wounded several more. Yeah, he was a crazy person. You'd believe he's crazy to do this. But he'd been crazy for a number of years. And even though there were more than one so-called red flags, maybe this person has some issues. He sort of fell through the cracks until he finally, the day he committed suicide, and then prior to kill people. Do you think he deliberately took, selected a gun-free zone? You better believe it. Didn't necessarily have to be the bar. It could be a college. He went to a college. It could have been his former high school. Colleges are the primary target because you have a lot of people there, and usually it's a gun-free zone. Almost all the time it's a gun-free zone. So the next best place is where college students hang out, and that's what he chose. He picked the time, the place, the weapon. He thought about it, and then he finally acted. And now it's national news. That's exactly what he wanted. He didn't just want to kill himself or kill one or two people. And this was random shootings. He didn't know these people, other than maybe seeing them at this bar and grill, the Borderline Bar and Grill. Don't forget that. One of the big overlooked and intentionally overlooked characteristics of all these mass shootings is they occur in gun-free zones where, with the exception of police and security guards, tens, hundreds, thousands of people gather, and all you need is one person with a weapon that wants to kill people and kill himself, and then many others will die. And this is not the first nor the last. It will continue. And the answer is not to disarm law-abiding citizens. And that is what the Democratic Party wants to do, the liberals want to do, and even some Republicans want to do. We got to do something. We got to limit the law-abiding citizens' right to keep and bear arms. Pardon me over my dead body. The American people are not going to put up with that, and they will push back. In the meantime, you're going to have to put up with propaganda that tries to emotionally exploit you by misleading you. Over 300 mass shootings this year? Really? That was a headline in a newspaper. And those are what the big lie media were spreading. A big lie. Are you beginning to see why I call them big lie media? They lie. They misrepresent the facts. They try to make a real problem. And one of the real problems is we have many mentally ill people, however you want to describe them, disturbed, that need to be treated. Some need to be involuntarily committed and treated. I'm all for treatment. The reason why you're not getting it is, one, it costs money. It's expensive. And two, what's going to happen? Unless you can get family or friends to agree to commit, let's say, one of their loved ones, the person is going to hire a lawyer and fight it. That all costs money, and if you listen to the show, what's the problem today, especially at the federal level, but in many states and cities? Government spending is out of control. So the government is out of control when they're spending not only every tax dollar you get, but have to borrow money to pay the bills, and they're not going to commit many people that should be committed and treated. I'm for treating these people, and hopefully, eventually, they get well. One of the problems is that could take a lot of time. There's no quick fix. And why medication can, to some extent, improve the situation, they got to take the medication. One of the problems with doctors prescribing the medication, there's no guarantee, and it's not just mental illness, it's all types of illness, that the people take their medicine. You know, talk to any doctor to tell them, I prescribe it. It's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. They take it for a couple of days, and they stop. Now, that's madness. In my mind, if you're going to pay a doctor some good money and he prescribes medication, you got to buy the medication, take it. And you got to take it for the entire time. And unfortunately, in many of these situations, it might be months, it might be a lifetime or something in between. And why some have the money, some don't. Many of these people become addicted to drugs, alcohol, and cannot really hold down a job. And even the ones that do, especially if you have this condition, they will tell you, I go to work and I come home. I go to work, I come home. They don't want to interact with the rest of the community. So I'm for supporting veterans, and that means when they have some mental problems, they get the treatment they need. And my heart goes out to them, and I hope you will remember veterans on Veterans Day. Now, there are two other stories. I'm almost out of time, but I wanted to at least mention them, and I debated whether even to include them because I'm roughly at the hour point. There is going to be, obviously, in my mind, and I live in Texas. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I didn't vote. But many people do vote, and they want their votes counted. And we're hearing from the Democrats, every vote should count. Well, not really. Yes, if you legally voted and properly voted, yes, your vote should count. And it should count and should be counted in a timely manner. But in Florida, especially, there are two races, one for the governor and one for the senator from Florida, that Republicans won. And they won by many thousands, tens of thousands. When someone wins by that kind of margin, even though it's close, it is almost never happens, I say almost, that after a recount, and in Florida you do have recounts, and these two elections, most likely, one for sure, but I think both, it's going to be recounted. Do I think the results are going to change? No, it shouldn't change, especially when that's the initial reporting was tens of thousands separate the candidates. But if the Democrats could steal an election, in other words, count votes that, and it's usually the provisional votes, where people try to vote in the wrong precinct would be one, or they show up, try to cast a ballot, they're not registered, so they're provisional and need to be checked out, need to be resolved. But isn't it curious that there's one county, Broward, predominantly Democrat, that always seems to have the problem? So what's happened is the vote count for both the Senate position and the governor position, the margin separating the winner has gotten smaller, smaller, and smaller. And now there are lawsuits. What I think is going to happen, they're going to have a recount, and the Republicans are going to win. And I said this in an earlier show, the joke in the Republican Party is, you better win by at least a 3% margin, or the Democrats, by hook or by crook, might steal it from you. Well, you can accuse the other party of trying to do that, but you got to have evidence, and that's hard to produce unless you have someone on the inside. It should be investigated. Frankly, Florida should get its act together. So the Democrats, and you hear it on the news reports, every vote should be counted, something to that effect. Well, that sounds good because most people will say, yeah, I would qualify it if the person is registered to vote, followed the procedures, mailed in the ballot, or went to the voting place, yeah, his vote should count and should be counted. But why does it take so long for one county? Something's going on. It doesn't smell right. I always say the smell test. Why is it always one or two counties in Florida, mainly Broward, that takes so long when all the other counties can get their act together? And what adds to suspicion, they won't tell you how many votes were cast. Excuse me? You knew that election day. You didn't. I mean, when the polls closed, you should have been, because all the other counties could tell you. So many voted for this candidate, so many voted for the others. This county won't even tell you that. Like I say, I'm not in Florida. In Texas, I don't vote anymore for Democrats or Republicans. I'm waiting for a new viable limited government party. And I think eventually you're going to have one. Because people are so fed up with both political parties, because they're both big government parties. Yes, there are differences between both parties, but neither party needs to do what fundamentally needs to be done, is downsizing the federal government. That's the issue. And you got at least half the people that are dependent on the government, because both parties, but mainly the Democratic Party, practice Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. That's really simplifying, but that's what's going on. Free college, free medical care, free food, free apartments, free, free, free. Well, it's not free. It is definitely not free. It's not government money. It's your money. They're taxing people
and giving it to someone else. They're playing Santa Claus, and they want to stay in power, and that's how the Democrats have done it, as well as the Republicans. Some do it better than others. But we've been doing it for over 100 years, and as a result, there is a day of reckoning. The national debt is going out of sight, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because you have over $200 trillion. That's over $200,000 billion. That's never going to be paid off. And eventually, either benefits are going to have to be decreased and taxes increased, or a combination of both. We're not acting responsible. We have a government that's living way beyond the means of the people. The Democrats want to make it worse, and there's really a lack of leadership on the Republican Party to address it. There's certainly a lack of urgency, and ultimately that will be the downfall of the United States. Because what happens with empires, and we're an empire, we overextend and run up massive debt as well as liabilities. Many of those liabilities are to veterans, their pensions and their benefits, as well as many other people that have worked for the government. You can't keep doing what we've been doing, really, since the end of World War II. It's only getting worse. Finally, there's a story. I even debated whether to cover this, but it's something that many of you watch. Tucker Carlson. He's been, let us say, libertarian, conservative, very good. I watch him. I know some of you don't listen to Fox. You're CNN people. Keep drinking or listening to the Kool-Aid. Anyway, the left in this country has targeted Tucker Carlson. He's effective. He's a communicator. And he invites him on. And most of the time, he gets the better of him. And that really grates on him. They know it, because he makes them look like fools. Because if you invite a fool on your show and you know what you're doing, it becomes very apparent. Many of these people don't know what they're talking about, can't even argue a point. If anything, they're very good at name calling. They like to call you names. Now, there's a group called Antifa. I call them the thugs of the left. And what they did is they demonstrated, protested, as well as, you know, screaming insults, not at Tucker Carlson, but his wife and his kids that were in his house. I find this reprehensible. And if they cross the line, if they commit a crime, vandalizing, and they did vandalize, and there's pictures of it. But if you're inside and a number of people are demonstrating like this and you don't know what's going on, it's frightening. As far as I'm concerned, it never should have happened, but it's happening. It's the politicization of America. And people are being confronted and insulted when they go out to eat or walking along the street, especially if they're in the Trump administration, well-known. In other words, people that are frequently on television. Or you're a reporter or a journalist or a commentator. I'm a commentator, so is Tucker Carlson. So they target his family. The police need to put a stop to this. But unfortunately, in some cities, some communities, they don't want to get involved. Remember, you're going on private property, and they did go on private property to do this damage. And if you're inside and people are knocking on your door, screaming, there's a certain amount of fear for your life. Somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody is going to take this too far, and people will push back and defend themselves. And if you try to break into someone's house and they have justifiable fear, they can shoot you. And as far as I'm concerned, they should, if you legitimately are fearing for your life. They shouldn't be doing this. That's why someone is going to get hurt. Now, I'm not advocating confronting them. I would try to ignore them to the best of your ability. But if someone pushes in a door, breaks down a door, trying to get into my house, I think the owner, assuming they have a weapon. I don't know if Tucker Carlson's wife has a weapon, but if someone does, they would be justified. You got to be careful here. If someone is attacking you, you fear for your life. Let's say you're a woman or children could be teenagers, and you have a number of these thugs. That's what they are. This is Antifa. They're trying to scare the media. They're trying to intimidate people. This is terrorist activity. They say they're against fascists, but these are the tactics of fascists. Very much so. They're bullies. Bullies and thugs that can't make their point on television and instead want to frighten the family
of Tucker Carlson. It's reprehensible. It should be stopped. Will it be stopped? I fear not. And it's been funded by the left, and it's across the country. And they attack people. They have attacked people. So I'll follow this up if we get more information. Both the, it was a mass shooting. This was a mass shooting. Not when no one gets killed and a few people get injured. I'm not minimizing the fact that bullet wounds hurt and can be life-threatening. But just because four people were injured doesn't make it a mass shooting. I agree with the FBI that minimum of four people need to be killed. Now, you can make an argument, one, two, three, four, or ten. But people are using this to mislead people in thinking that this is happening across the United States. No, it's not. And you know it hasn't happened. Because if you listen to television or listen to the news or reasonably informed, you know this is not true. But that's what big lie media does. It misleads you. And that's what they're doing it. They're doing it across the country, and they're doing it on college campuses. You got to call them out on it. Because if you don't, they just do it again. Because some people fall for this nonsense. So I wanted to give you as much as I could in new information. And I do have pictures of those people that were killed, their names, some stories, some background information. And don't forget the veterans that have, unfortunately, PTSD. It's horrendous to have. And many people go back and back trying. They really want to be cured, but unless they get the right treatment that works for them, this just lingers. So remember the veterans, remember the victims of this shooting, and keep informed. And yes, probably next Friday we'll know who truly won in Florida. I think we already know. They're trying to steal it, and I don't think they'll be successful. I'd be surprised, but they've stolen elections before, so this is not, it does happen. And there's a history of this, and the American people are watching. They don't like what they're seeing. Now, I agree, if it's a really close election, either tens or maybe a couple of hundred, maybe, but not when it's thousands of votes separating them. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.